Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. You're about to hear another interview from the ATX Open, this time with Tereza Mihalikova. She is number 55 in the world in doubles at the time of me recording this quick intro. I am in Indian Wells right now. We've got a big quarterfinal day today coming up, so be sure to watch that on Tennis Channel and Tennis Channel Plus if you haven't been following along with that. But for this conversation, again, from the ATX Open, I sat down with Tereza and our writer, Hanlon Walsh, for about 15 or 20 minutes, and we talked about Tereza's quarterfinal win over Sloane Stephens and Peyton Stearns. They won in a third set, and Tereza played really a near-perfect tiebreaker. She was super active at the net, poaching a lot, kind of not allowing herself or her partner to get into baseline rallies against these two really strong singles players. So we talked a little bit about the strategy behind that in that match specifically. We also discussed how she spent her time in Austin on her days off. We talked a little bit about practice and then her favorite hobby, which is a very interesting hobby. She's probably the only person I've ever met who does this. I didn't even know they were a thing, but she likes to visit rabbit farms, which was kind of interesting. And Tereza's really become a really strong doubles player over the last several years, so I expect you'll be seeing her name deep in draws a lot over the coming years. So I encourage you to watch her if you get a chance. So without further delay, enjoy this conversation with Tereza Mihalikova. All right. So you're here in Austin into the semifinals tomorrow. You've had a few days off. How did you spend the days off when you have 2 days off like that in the middle of a tournament?
Usually I practice because I have to say I'm still fit. I don't need to take yet much more of the days off.
Yeah.
But yesterday was very, very cold, and me and my partner also decided to take a day off because we saw that today and also tomorrow the weather is warmer, so the conditions for playing are totally different. I also asked another players. They said it was very heavy, so completely different than today. So it was a good decision. And I think not me personally, but everyone just likes to visit the physios to get the body ready and do a few more repetitions of what you think you need. If you feel good, you just hit to I don't know how to say it. So you still feel good for the next day.
To get warm and
to get warm and not to dig deep.
Yeah.
Because you are winning, so you're doing something good.
Is that why you practiced twice today? I noticed you practiced twice today.
Yes.
Because you were off yesterday?
Not really. I like to play twice.
Okay.
But afternoon was more of return practice.
Uh-huh.
But as I said, some players like to hit a little bit also before the match. I'm the type of player that it takes time for me to warm up, to get the body going. So even if I'm playing a match, also in previous rounds, I was hitting 1 hour because the doubles on the normal tournaments, not Grand Slams, are two sets and the match tiebreak. So let's say it's not that, it's exhausting, yeah, physically, mentally, but not like three sets when you're playing a Grand Slam. So for me, the 1 hour is fine to warm up the body, to feel the shots, and then I feel better. Some players, which I know, likes to hit 15 minutes and they are good to go. So I think it's everybody's decision.
So we were looking at your WTA profile earlier, and it said that you like to visit rabbit farms.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know rabbit farms are like a thing. Can you tell us about this, and where can we visit a rabbit farm?
We have also some in Slovakia.
Okay. We have to go to Slovakia. I don't think the U.S. has rabbit farms.
Not really. I searched for some rabbit cafes. It's more in China, where another doubles player, Yifan Xu, took me, and they had some alpacas and rabbits.
Do you like to eat rabbit?
No.
Okay, so this is for like pets or like...
Yeah, it's not for food. It's for petting.
Because some people eat rabbits, I think.
Oh, yeah, also in our country, people.
Okay.
They said it's good, but
so you like to go and just play with them and pet them and
I also have my own rabbit, and in future I want to have a rabbit farm as well. So for me it's I also have tattoo of a rabbit. So and now almost everybody on the tour, let's say Ons Jabber calls me a bunny. So people know I love rabbits. And I also offer, if you have a rabbit, I can trade them and give it back to you. So
that's so funny. So your quarterfinal match, I got to watch the other day against Sloane and Peyton. You played obviously two kind of primarily singles players. How do you handle that versus when you're playing more kind of doubles specialists? Is there anything you do differently strategically or tactically?
Definitely. It's a different tactic than against doubles players. I think you feel more calm, especially for me, when you're playing a singles player, because you know they will not take the risk. The net player will not take the risk. So sometimes even when the opponent hits a good serve, the net player just covers
their side. Yeah.
Or if it's second serve, you know the singles player is not gonna poach or anything, or some I formations. But singles players are dangerous with you know, ground strokes, serves and return, which are the most important shots. But this is a doubles, so volleys are very, very important. And I have to say they played well, and I saw that I have to get more aggressive on the net, and I did. And when you see, it also happened in the first round, when you see that the opponent does not know where to go, it's a good sign for me that I'm doing a good job. So
Yeah, that was my next question. So in the tiebreaker, y'all played an almost perfect tiebreaker. I think you're up 9-0 and then won at 10-2. It seemed like you poached on almost every single ball. I've never seen somebody like be so aggressive for such a long stretch at the net. Was that just to avoid the baseline rallies, or is it something you just like to do in tiebreakers just to kind of get through the nerves and move anyways?
Not really to avoid the rallies, because I think we played some rallies in the match, and at least on my side on the deuce, it was going pretty good. But I have to say Sloane was on the backhand side, on the head side, was hitting very nice and deep, so it was very difficult for Janina. And that's when I realized I have to help more on the net. But in the tiebreak, if you want or not, it's much more, let's say, stress than in singles, because you have the net player. It's giving you pressure. I saw they did, I think Peyton did few unforced errors, and they were also much, much slower than in the first two sets. So, but as I said, it gives you that she's watching the net player, which is not good, but for us was good. And I think one particular doubles player told me once that in tiebreaks, you just have to be active, because if you are not, then usually you lose the tiebreak. It goes pretty quick. You have to make sure you get the first point. And so far, I have to say the match tiebreak for me is more on the positive outcome than the negative one. So, okay.
Did you watch the opponent's match yesterday? Or how do you approach kind of scouting for your next match? Is it something you do a lot of, or do you not really worry about it and focus on yourself?
No, I like to watch the opponents. Sometimes I know what they are going to do based on either watch one match or two matches, because let's say when my coach was doing it, I listened to it, but goes one ear and inside and one out. So I like to watch it myself. And some players you already know you are meeting on every single tournament, but our first round here and second round were singles players, so I had to watch them to see what they are doing. And I think it's different with every team. Some teams I'm like, oh, I don't see any patterns, I have no idea. Well, I mean, let's see what they will do that day. Some matches I know, okay, I have to return here, important points, they go here, I play this and that. So, and yeah. So then I feel more sure.
Yeah.
You have had a lot of really good past few years on the doubles tour. I saw that last year was you got your career high ranking, and this year you're ranked, you know, right around the top 50. Talk about the difference between, you know, as a doubles player being ranked around 40 or 50 versus top 100 or top 150, and what that, you know, the benefits that come with that ranking.
First of all, if you are top 50, you are a full member. which is great. But I have to say, when I decided to play doubles, it looked to me it's very difficult to get to the top 100. And but once you start, and the first WTAs, of course, because when you are young, you want to play WTAs, and suddenly you are there, and you get the stress. Or let's say, I remember my first Indian Wells. I was so shaky, just because you are playing finally the tournaments you saw in the TV. But with the matches or the years on the tour, you are more calm, and I have to say top 50 is good, but I want to be much, much better, and I aim much, much better. And I'm trying to work every day, because I also watch the top players. I learn from them, and I'm trying to use what the top players are, because what the top doubles players are doing, to kind of get there, because I see this is what will improve my ranking. So I don't want to stay and get comfortable with this.
What are some of your goals for the rest of the year?
My goal is to be, well, right now I'm top 50, so my first goal is to get to top 30, top 20. Then for sure, as a doubles player, to find a stable partner to play every week, so which is really important. But I have to say, when you are 50, it's still not the time where you can find a stable partner, because if you find someone same rank, you are at the edge of the, not the Grand Slams, but of the thousands. So you just want to make sure you get there. But if you're around 30, you get the stable partner, and really you need a few good weeks during the season. And then my biggest goal is the Masters, obviously, but for that you need a stable partner. So step by step, I think.
Awesome. And there's been a lot of new teams at the top of the game on the WTA this year. How do you assess the new doubles teams that have formed in 2024? Or what are your thoughts on some of those teams?
I know all of them. I have to say, I like the team of Storm and Katerina. So that's a very good doubles team. And Elise with... I didn't know how to pronounce.
Yeah.
I liked last year. We played them. I played them many times as Zvonareva and Zygmunt, but Vera is retired. She just played a few tournaments. So, but and I actually watched because they played Zygmunt and the Krejcikova played our opponents in Yuan Wang from the first round. So that's the match I actually watched to see what they used against them. So I like the team. Some teams stayed, but I mean, I just want to play them.
You want to beat them?
Of course.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Teresa, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.